An informant had walked onto Hurricane Point with details about the bomb maker. Jim had interrogated him with Hottis translating, convincing the informant to finger the bomb maker's home on a map. Usually the team wouldn't go out on a raid unless a couple of sources confirmed their information, but this informant had identified the type of IED down to its triggering mechanism, a baby monitor. The details seemed enough. The team had already taken a sledgehammer to the front door while Hottis sat parked in the Humvee, his hands pushed deep into the pockets of Jim's jacket, a cigarette dangling from his lips. Hottis listened to the rain as he waited to get called inside. A broken wiper stuttered across the windshield. He played with an empty bottle of Motrin he'd found in Jim's pocket, popping the lid off and on, off and on. The team moved through each room, their flashlights sweeping behind sofas and into corners, the light occasionally spilling through a window and into the street. Aside from some muffled voices, a dog barking here and there, it was quiet. Jim stepped into the courtyard. He flashed his light at Hottis, who tossed his cigarette into the wet street and then entered the living room, where a woman cried by the doorway, her breath coming in hyperventilated huffs. One of the guys from the team thrust a black-and-white photo of the alleged bomb maker in her face.
"Ainahoa!"
he shouted. Jim leaned over to Hottis, whispering.
"She knows, man."
The woman shuffled toward Hottis on her knees, grabbing his pant leg.
"He's not here," she said in Arabic.
Hottis crouched next to her.
"You need to tell them," he whispered.
The woman said nothing. Jim and a few others formed a circle around her, rifles slung across their chests, helmets cinched tight, night vision goggles hiding their eyes like depraved carnival masks.
"Please,"
she said to Hottis. He took her elbow gently in his hand.
"They're not leaving.
He killed one of their friends." The woman's shoulders collapsed, her chin buckling toward her chest.
"He's not here,"
she said softly. Hottis shook his head at Jim. Jim walked into a corner room, returning with a boy not more than 14 years old. His tousled black hair pasted itself against his sweaty forehead, and he wore a loose pajama shirt. Etched across his face was a scowl which did not intimidate. Pushing Hottis out of the way, Jim grabbed the boy by his nape. With a single arm, he throttled him to the floor. The boy's chest hit the ground. He let out a gasp, sounding like too much air through too small a hole. His mother watched, her entire body shaking.
"He doesn't know!"
she shouted, lunging at Jim.
"Christ's sake, Abadi, hold on to her!"
Jim snapped. Hottis firmly grasped the woman's elbow. She swiveled around and slapped Hottis clean across the jaw. Jim lifted his arm, as if to strike her back. Hottis placed his body between them.
"I've got her," he said.
The woman's shouts turned to whimpers.
"Let's try again," said Jim.
He leaned over the boy, who lay sprawled on his stomach. Jim stepped on his spine with one boot, grabbing an arm, pulling it up, slowly twisting it by the wrist. The boy breathed heavily. Jim leaned in front of him, holding the faded black-and-white photo close to his face like a rag of chloroform.
"Ask him where his father is,"
Hottis asked. The boy said nothing. Jim twisted the arm a little harder.
"How am I out of shit?"
sobbed the boy's mother.
"What did she say?"
Jim muttered.
"She said he doesn't know,"
answered Hottis.
"I'll break his fucking arm,"
Jim said calmly.
"Tell her."
Jim twisted the wrist a little more. The boy's legs flopped against the floor, his bare feet scuffing the ground, wild as a seizure. He cursed in a throaty voice that sounded like a man's. Then it became quiet but for the boy's panting and the scrape of his feet. Jim adjusted himself, planting his right boot between the boy's neck and ear, gaining an extra bit of leverage. He pivoted toward the woman, as if giving her a last chance. She hung her head. Jim shifted his body over the boy, lifting the arm.
"He's hiding in the yard,"
said the woman. "Desperately," Hottis translated. Jim stopped. He glanced beneath his boot. The boy's face was clamped with a defeated sort of pain.